Bankruptcy. Certainly one of those words that is kind of surrounded by negative connotation. Simply is a legal proceeding involving a person or business that is unable to repay their outstanding debts. The word bankruptcy is derived from an Italian phrase called banca rotta, meaning broken bench. Tradition says that the term originated in Renaissance Italy, where allegedly when a merchant or moneylender defaulted on payments to the public or to a lender, the authorities would physically break their merchant stall into pieces or break the money bench for all to see, make a public display that no one was to do business with these people anymore, and to prevent them from continuing further into debt. In many ancient cultures, the concept of bankruptcy did not exist. If a person had debt they could not repay, they either sold their possessions in order to get funds to pay the debtor what they had owed, or if they had nothing of value to sell, they or even their family would become indentured servants to the creditor until the debt was paid for, or for a period of 5 to 7 years, depending on the culture. Most financial experts and advisors will usually tell you to avoid bankruptcy at all cost. Financial bankruptcy should never be looked at as a win. Most are unable to get relief, or even some are able to get certain debts forgiven, but there is always a cost associated with it. Someone has to pay. Someone always gets hurt. This is the same for us, spiritually speaking. We are all spiritually bankrupt. We owe a debt that no matter what we do, no matter a lifetime of lifetimes of good deeds, we could never repay. As it was read this morning, Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So if all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death, then we could assume all of us are deserving of those wages and deserving to spend an eternity in a godless hell. The first part of Romans chapter 3 deals with this aspect that all, the Jew, the Greek, the entire world is guilty. Romans 3:10, which is quoting Psalms 14, it says, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, none who seek God." But fortunately for us, God had a plan from the very beginning of time to redeem, forgive, justify, and to reconcile man's debt of sin. It should be no coincidence to us that all of these phrases are used, and all of these phrases are used to describe our salvation through Christ, and all of these terms are financial terms used in a spiritual manner. Romans 3:23, we read the first part of it, but there's a second part. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Likewise with Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19 tells us, "Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Reconciliation is the accounting process of ensuring that two sets of records are in agreement with one another. How can that be? How can our bottom line match what God has determined what we owe? Our spiritual bottom line matches, our debts and our credits match, and this could only be possible by God sending His beloved Son. God didn't just forgive our sin. He didn't just wipe our slate clean. He didn't just fudge the numbers to make things work out. There was an enormous price that needed to be paid, and He bought our debt with the blood of His Son. Colossians 3:13 through 14 says, "You, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of us our trespasses by canceling out the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Through this, he set aside, having nailed it to the cross. You see, Jesus paid the price for us. He assumed our debt. He paid for it in full with his sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And this goes hand in hand with Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is I no longer who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered me up for himself." Those of you who have been washed by the blood of Christ have had your sin of debt forgiven, and now we are living in God's grace period. There's no other payment required, just a life for a life. But as Romans 6 tells us, should we continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. So today we come and we partake of these emblems which represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And remember that glorious day where he went to that cross and paid for our sin in full that we can have forgiveness. Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time that we can come and meet around your Son's table, Lord, and remember his death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, from the cross, that it was only through this, Lord, that man can have redemption, that our sins can be washed away, and we thank you, God, so much for loving us when we were unlovable, and forgiving us, Lord, when we were unforgiving. And we just thank you, God, so much for everything you do for us. Most of all, we thank you, Lord, so much for giving your Son to us, Lord, even though no matter what, we could never earn it, we could never deserve it. And just please, Lord God, help us as we partake of these emblems to do so in a worthy manner. And just forgive us for when we sin and fall short. In Jesus' name.